because it's very important. No. Two superintendents, they look alike, but they're not, because there were like 60 varieties of basil, and different varieties that are not real, the original Tulsi we are taught to worship. It's taken place that they're inside the temple. That worship that's going on with that supposedly Tulsi Devi, is it of the same value or not?
I think she's asking about different species of Tulsi.
Oh.
Different varieties.
Oh.
Worshiping each?
No. Others.
Okay.
So when the word is, what do you think about when it's being worshipped, a variety that is not real Tulsi? Is the worship really done because of love and devotion of the devotees? Okay. Is that authorized? No, they're not. It's only one, Ram and Shem. Like right now, from the out, we suffered a big loss like some years ago, recently. And then the community came to cooperate to have again a Tulsi garden. But in that Tulsi garden, there were at least five that identified that were not Tulsi. But they were being already worshipped by families, friends to the temple. And some also recognized by an assistant that are the only ones right now in other temples, but it's not the original Tulsi.
Oh, I see. You're
so is it
what
is
the original Tulsi?
No, what is the value when one worships that that supposedly Tulsi that is a pretender? It's not real Tulsi. It looks like, but it's not. Okay.
She's saying.
I don't
understand. She's saying that there are different apparently there are different varieties of Tulsi. Some people, she knows which one is real. And she's saying that there's others that are not real. That she said there is different variety of basil. One per variety is the real Tulsi. And she knows which one it is. And other people are worshipping, have been worshipping those that are not real.
Well, we said they're not real.
Or they're a different type of Tulsi. You mean like basil, like peppermint basil and cinnamon basil and all the different basils that have now been coming to coming. Yeah, I've noticed that. Because I was at my mother's house, and there was a Tulsi plant that the girl insisted was a Tulsi plant, but I was very skeptical that it was Tulsi. It didn't smell like Tulsi to me.
I preserved five, so I think it's five that are not, but they have taken over in some temples losing the original.
Yeah, but you see, there's a danger in keeping, I read about this, there's a danger in keeping those other kind of basil with the Tulsi, because they'll get mixed up. They'll crossbreed or something like that. Yeah, I've noticed that happening. The original Tulsi, there's a Ram Tulsi and there's a Krishna Tulsi. And they're Osam and Basilicum. No, there's something called a Bon Tulsi, which is up in the mountains. It's used for worshiping in Badrinath. It's a very different. It looks a lot like basil. Bon Tulsi, they call it. And it has white flowers. And they because it's very cold up in the mountains. It's in Himalayas, and Badrinath is 10,000 feet in the air. So the type of Tulsi they use is a little different. But there's the Ram Tulsi, which has greener leaves, and Krishna Tulsi, which has more purpler leaves. But then there are other varieties. There's a camphor Tulsi.
So what happens when one takes to the altar?
Huh?
When happens when one takes
Well, I guess it's not tulsi, that's all. It's the basil. Cinnamon basil, peppermint basil, there's so many basils now.
But the Lord accepts that worship?
Huh?
Does the Lord...
Are you saying that you're asking, are you asking what happens if somebody worships a basil plant instead of a tulsi plant? Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Well, I guess you don't get the same benefit of working a basil plant as a tulsi plant. I mean, tulsi is osimum sanctum, and basil is osimum basilicum. They're genetic, genus, what is it called? Species, genus, and all that stuff, name, scientific name. Okay, the scientific name of basil is osimum basilicum. The scientific name of tulsi is osimum sanctum. They are distinctly different. They are distinctly different. But now it seems that in the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, there is a growing the variety of the basil, where there's a peppermint basil, there's a cinnamon basil, and there may be some other ones that I don't even know about. And so when people bring those basil plants in with the tulsi plants, there can be cross-pollination, and it will change the, and I've also seen this. I've also seen this. What? I don't know. You'd have to ask that lady in Ishani. She's a botanist. I would ask her about those things because I don't know that much about them. But I just observed this. I observed this last year, last summer, that some of the plants that my god sister insisted were tulsi, I really had my doubts. They didn't smell like tulsi to me. Really?
It's really spreading, and I
want to
have the blessing.
Well, it's just another one of those things in Kali Yuga where things get lost and things get changed. They do their very best, you know. The material energy really knows how to screw things up. They really know how to water things down or change them or whatever. They're really good at that. The material energy really knows her stuff, you know. But yes, I did notice this last summer, because one of my god sisters was worshiping this plant that I swear didn't smell like and didn't look like tulsi to me. It smelled like basil. They're more sturdy, yeah.
They feel like,
yeah, and they have white flowers.
Different colors, because I have all the varieties, and they're all...
Well, that's why I keep them out of my garden. I don't want them to mix with mine, so I don't have beds. I have had camphor tulsi, though, and camphor tulsi, I've been told, because there's a whole book on tulsi that was written by an Indian man describing all the different kinds of tulsi, and all kinds of properties, and the fact that they've done studies in Tirumala that tulsi puts off twice as much of that, what is it called, the
ozone
or the energy that plants usually have that's good. Tulsi puts off twice as much. She has like a huge aura of this. Is it ozone? I don't know. There's another name for it, but I can't remember what it is. Anyway, so there is a camphor tulsi, too, and it's very viney. And I had one for many, many years. There's a devotee in Hawaii who's a specialist in all kinds of unusual trees, parijata trees and camphor tulsi and all this. And I actually really want another camphor tulsi. It smells like Radharani. The camphor tulsi, according to what I've been told, has the fragrance of Radharani. It smells exactly like camphor. You can run the feel the leaves or get close to the plant. It smells just like camphor. Have you ever smelled one?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's, and it has a vininess. It's a very spindly, and you need a tomato cage to, it grows up in a tomato cage. Well, there's a distinct tulsi has little purple manjaris. They're pinky purple manjaris. They're not white. They're pinky purple. Basil has white ones, but they're pinky purple. And she's, you know, I sent a packet of seeds from the Hawaii tulsi, which, because of the volcanic soil, they get very big. They get, I'm not kidding, 7 feet. Oh, they can, if they're given good sun. And they live for years. I have one that she's dying out now because she's over 10 years old. She's like this big at the base. And they're like a tree. I sent some seeds. I think I gave them to Malati or something. I sent them to New Vrindavan. And then the devotees told me some years later, they said, oh, you know, those seeds, they grew the best tulsi plants. Those are the strongest plants we ever had. So maybe what you need to do is get fresh seeds from a really solid garden, you know? Yeah, I can send them to you. I can send you. Every year I harvest seeds. I keep some seeds. You know, I keep some. Generally, it's not a good idea to let them go to seed because it means they make less flowers, right? We all know that. And it's hard on the plant, makes the plant work hard making seeds. But periodically, some go to seeds, and they're very strong. The seeds are strong, very strong, and they make good plants. Yeah, I don't know too much about this crossbreeding thing, but I think it is happening. I think it is happening. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere?
It's widespread.
Well, how is it doing it? People bring in cinnamon basil or something, or what's going on? They buy them from the nurseries or something. Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah, I've noticed that. I just this summer was the first time I noticed it, because the girl that takes care of my mother, she had all these basil plants, these purple, these cinnamon or peppermint basil, and then the one that was supposed to be tulsi, I really questioned whether it was tulsi, and she insisted it was tulsi. She got quite mad about it. Oh, she got so, that's tulsi. But I don't believe that was tulsi. I really don't. It didn't look like tulsi to me. It didn't smell like tulsi either. There's a very distinct flavor, you know. But yeah, I'll send you some seeds, and then you can. And I mean, I just don't let those basil plants grow in my garden. I get rid of them. Huh? Well, you know, Thai basil, the Thai food, they use tulsi in their cooking. And so it may be that Thai basil is different from, you know, different species. But the tulsi, just get tulsi seeds from Vrindavan. Or, I mean, just get tulsi seeds from Vrindavan, or get tulsi seeds from a temple, or And it, rather than buying them at Walmart or whatever. Really? I didn't know that. Hmm. Well, it's 8:30. Oh, does the DD's open at 8:45?
Hmm?
8:50. Oh, so 10 more minutes?
Pastime of Tulsi and Prabhupada.
Pastime of Tulsi and Prabhupada? Well, when we first got the Tulsi plants, the way we got them was I had been wanting to grow Tulsi for years. And so, but it, I actually used to go to the university library at night because my husband was a scholar and we had open stacks in those days in the East-West Center. Books by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, and all these, just all kinds of Garuda Puranas and this Puranas and this, you know. And I would go into stacks, meaning you could walk right back into the library and go through and pick them out. And so I was always picking out books to take to my husband, and who enjoyed different. And I came across the book called Firminger's Gardening in India. This was a British book, and that's when I found out that Tulsi was O Summum Sanctum. And once I had that, because we didn't know what it was. We didn't know what the plant, we had no clue what a Tulsi plant looked like, see? So then when I had that clue of how to grow them, then I just needed some seeds, now that I had the clue of how to grow them, and, you know, it described how to grow. And it described O Summum Sanctum and O Summum Basilicum in the book. And the British knew, you know, because they lived in India. So Firminger's Gardening in India was the beginning. And then I talked to a lady. She was a British lady, actually. Or maybe she was Indian British. She to bring me some Tulsi seeds when she went to India. So she brought me some seeds. And I planted them. And they sprouted, and we were doing obeisances to some sprouts that eventually became blades of grass for a while. And then those seeds weren't viable. And so then the next time she brought some more seeds. So this time they sprouted in the little heart-shaped seedlings. And that was the beginning. And so then I wrote Prabhupada and told him that I had some baby Tulsi plants and described them and everything. And then whenever he came, he was in, I don't know where he was, but anyway, he flew to LA. Oh, I think that was around the time of the New Vrindavan episode. Anyway, he came to LA and I was going to see him in LA. And by then I had some 7-inch seedlings. About 7 inches they were. And he had written me the prayers. He had told me to do the circumambulation. That was the beginning of how the Tulsi worship started. And to offer, you can offer food, you can offer lamps, you can offer everything, flowers, and do the circumambulation and so forth. And so they have these things, these laws, they're agricultural laws, that they won't let you bring anything from Hawaii to the mainland. They're worried about bugs. And so when I was getting on the plane to go see him, they wouldn't let me on the plane with my Tulsi plants. So then as I was just getting on the plane, one of the brahmacharis came to see us off, me and Gorsinder, and he transferred his shoulder back to my shoulder. And there were two plants in him. I took them to Prabhupada, and he was so happy. His servant told me that he had not seen him that happy in months, because he had just gone through this horrible political episode in New Vrindavan, back in the 70s, you know. And so he was really, really not happy. But he was overjoyed, and he talked for hours. He was just so happy. And in fact, the servant told me, you got to come back again, because this is great. You know, this is the best mood he's been in a long time. But I still didn't really understand the significance. That's what's interesting. I really didn't understand the significance of Tulsi. I just knew that I had this desire. It was like, I really want to grow Tulsi. And he talked about, you know, when I took the two plants out and set them on his desk, his eyes got big, he held them up and said, ah, yes, this is Tulsi. And then he began to talk about the story of how Tulsi was a great devotee, and she was married to a husband that was a demon, and he was a very big demon. And then he stopped short. He didn't tell the story. He said, and it is a very long story. He figured it was just too much. That story about Tulsi, it was a bit much for us. So he deliberately did not tell us that story. But he told us all other things about worshiping Tulsi and circumambulating and how they should be cared for, and that I should send them to every center that we have, and that I should grow them and send the seeds and like that. And I wrote a book about it at that time and how to grow it and everything. And then gradually people, because you see, by worshiping Tulsi and circumambulating Tulsi, one is enabled to make spiritual advancement. And we needed this. We needed this help to be able to clear, you know, the Jani Kani Chapapani Brahma, you know, with the clapping, just circumambulating Tulsi, one's lifetimes of sins are eradicated. We all know this. I mean, there's so many scriptural things that are written about the worship of Tulsi relieving one of sinful karmas. So many things. And in order to make progress on the path of bhakti, Srila Prabhupada instituted this in all of his temples. This artic, this we used to do of fire, you know, in the evening. And he instituted this in all of his temples so that his disciples and so that anybody and everybody. I have one god sister who said when she saw these people worshiping a plant and walking around a plant, she knew this was the place for her. It's just so bizarre. It's so bizarre. So that is how it started. And I didn't really understand the significance of Tulsi at that time. I really didn't. But for worshiping Vishnu or Krishna, Tulsi leaves are essential. And I actually don't think I understood that, but Prabhupada understood it. And so he introduced it. Hare Krishna. It looks like it's almost time for the deities to open. Thank you very much for coming. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.